are coming to your town. There is the Annie and Danny Perasa StoryCorps booth at Grand Central Station, down at the World Trade Center site, Ground Zero, and two travel around the country. We'll link to it at democracynow.org as well. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Shufa Bokadous, John Hamilton, Anna Nagara, Elizabeth Press, Yoruba Richin, Maddie Harper, Aaron Mate. Mike DeFilippo was our engineer. Again, our website is democracynow.org. You can email us at mail@democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6 o'clock. Time for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. For the next, 45 minutes tonight, we have an abbreviated program because there's another basketball game coming up tonight at 6:45. And I'm told, let's see what we got here. This involves the women's basketball team. And they are going to be at UMBC. We're going to kick their asses, right? I can say that, right? We're going to kick their asses because it's team spirit. It's team spirit, and we have to cause the other side pain and suffering. That's what it's all about. I just watched the Olympics. I know these things. And by the way, the Olympic coverage in America, as always, was so terrible. Thank God I had that satellite dish from Canada. Because over there, they know how to do it. They show everything live. Even if it's at 4 in the morning, they show everything live. And there's something like 6 or 7 different channels with different sports going on at all different times. And in actuality, I have to confess, I really didn't watch any of it. But I thought it was cool that I could if I wanted to. And I think that's sort of the theme of my life, is just acquiring things that would be cool to have if I wanted to do something with them and not really ever doing anything with them. I guess that's sort of an American parallel, too. Acquiring things that you don't need. But in any event, yeah, we're going to kick their ass. Who are they, anyway? UMBC. What is that? It sounds like a computer. UMBC. Does anybody know what UMBC... Why can't they even spell out their name? All the other schedule things here, it's obvious. Delaware State, Albany, Colgate. Silly name for a campus. Vermont, New Hampshire, Binghamton, Dartmouth. But tonight we play these four letters, UMBC. I'm going to hop onto Google and see what I can find out. Because, really, you can't wish pain and suffering on somebody if you don't have a geographic location. And right now, those four letters just aren't doing it for me. But we're going to shellac them. We're going to cause them much embarrassment, issue all sorts of mockery in the stands. Yeah, that's what it's all about. You have to root for your team. And the women's basketball team is our team because they come from here. But they don't only come from here. They happen to go here for school. And that's where they are right now. Next year, maybe some will be at UMBC, wherever that is. And then they'll be the enemy. It's just like professional sports, you know, where everybody moves all over the place. And you're loyal to somebody. Johnny Damon has long hair. Last year, he plays for Boston, and he's cool. This year, he's all clean-shaven, and he's a Yankee, and he's not cool anymore. You know? That's how sports works. You got to be kidding me. Okay, you know what UMBC stands for? University of Maryland Baltimore Campus. What a silly name that is. First of all, why is campus even part of it? It shouldn't be part of your initials. Obviously, it's a campus. UMB, that's what they should be called. University of Maryland at Baltimore. Obviously, it's a campus. What do they think it is? A pool hall? Silly. Okay, so we're gonna cause some major bloodshed in Baltimore later on tonight. But that's at 6:45. Right now, it's off the wall, and we're going to talk about various things going on in the world and surrounding area and things like that. And I got to say, have you noticed, have you felt this? Because I have, and everybody I know has as well, this sort of malaise in the air, this depression. Maybe it's the time of year. Maybe it's the fact that it's midwinter, kind of cold and gray out. Nobody really has anything interesting to say or do. Today's the last day of February, which I guess shouldn't be that depressing, because February, as a rule, kind of sucks. So I'm just as happy to see it go. But the only reason I'd be a little unhappy is because March doesn't have as much snow as February, and we didn't have that much snow in February, except for the one blizzard, which melted very quickly. So yeah, there's this depression going around. And I don't know. I don't really have a solution that works for everybody. I can tell you what works for me. What gets me out of a brown funk. Is it a brown funk or a blue funk? Or maybe it's both. What gets me out of any kind of a funk, usually, is music. You know, nice, chipper, cheerful music. The kind that makes you want to stand up and hop around and just do something perky. Well, no, I hate perky. But, you know, something not depressing, something not moping around and just feeling sorry for yourself, because that's really what it's all about, is feeling sorry for yourself all the time. And I just don't have any patience for that, especially with me. So when I feel a bout of sadness coming on, when I think too much about the state of the world or about how things just aren't getting anywhere or the general futility of it all, yeah, when I think too much about things like that, what was I saying? Yeah, I put on a track of music that cheers me up. And I think that's what the listeners need tonight. And maybe they'll get us into a fighting mood for the basketball game, too. But if you're feeling depressed, just sit back, turn up the stereo, and listen to something that was guaranteed to get you out of it. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Clearly, I picked the wrong song when I came in today, because that doesn't make me feel very chipper or cheerful at all. In fact, my God. Thank God I had that tissue with me. All I was thinking of while that was playing was the people that we've lost over the years and all that which is gone and is never coming back. Even the fact that the universe will one day implode, that crossed my mind while listening to that. Boy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I couldn't turn it down either, because we have a very strict rule here when classical music is playing at the station that it is not to be talked over or interrupted in any way. The last person who did that, well, let's not even get into that. I'll have to play another depressing song. Okay, you know, I'm sorry about that. That was something else. But it sort of proves the point that, you know, music evokes a mood of some sort. And those of you who are in a much worse mood now as a result of that, I'm sorry. But think of that as a demonstration of the power of music. And if I had a happy song, I would play it, because that would cheer everybody up. All right. Well, I guess to try and get people out of that, let's look at the news. Maybe that will cheer people up. I know it's not going to, but it might. Wow. Okay, at least a half dozen of today's attacks in Iraq hit religious sites. So, you know, everyone's getting into the spirit of attacking religion. All right, the Danish people showed us how it's done. They drew a cartoon, and they said, look, it's Prophet Muhammad. And everybody went berserk, started burning things and killing each other and marching and storming around. And now it's spread to other parts of Islam, where the Shiites and the Sunnis are at each other's throats in Iraq. And, you know, let's not fool ourselves here, because yeah, we always knew that there were factions in Islam. Everybody knew this. Everybody knew that Sunnis and Shiites didn't necessarily get along. And now that Iraq has been completely thrown into chaos, well, they're free to kill each other, and that's exactly what they're doing. We cannot be surprised at that. I'm not saying you shouldn't blame the people who are doing the actual killing, but a good degree of responsibility has to lie on the people who made it all possible. And that, my friends, is us, the American taxpayers, because we're the ones who paid to screw up that country. Oh, yeah, it was messed up before. You had Saddam Hussein running around terrorizing people in various places. That's what dictators do. He was fulfilling the job requirement as laid out for him by the CIA. But now it's a free-for-all, and there's no end in sight. And believe me, I'm no fan of dictators, but you have to ask yourself, how many more people would have died had he stayed in power? Probably a whole lot less. Yeah, you would have still had a dictator in power, but when he finally was overthrown, and it does happen. When that finally does happen, or did happen, a lot less people would have died, and whatever revolution would have taken place would have been so much more legitimate. This, you're just going to have another Shah of Iran situation in maybe 40 years, where the Americans are thrown out and all sorts of bloodshed is committed yet again. Anyway, that's what's going on. Both Shiite and Sunni sites were targeted. At least 68 people were killed just today. And the violence stretched from morning into the night. The victims include a Shiite cleric whose handcuffed body was found near a Sunni mosque. I guess that's some sort of attempt at conversion. Who knows? It's really pretty disgusting. It also shows the complete hypocrisy over there. People get all outraged at reports. Not even the images, because you're not allowed to look at the images, but reports of cartoons being drawn in a foreign country of your prophet, who apparently isn't capable of defending himself. You have to go and firebomb buildings and terrorize innocent people to defend this guy who supposedly is all-powerful. Right. And then pictures of torture in Abu Ghraib come out. The Australians released that a couple of weeks ago. And, okay, yeah, you know, nothing really comes of that. That's where you should be rioting. That's where you should be torching buildings. Throwing things, blowing up cars, that kind of stuff. Trying not to hurt people in the process, but just, you know, showing your rage. But no, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen when the people die. It doesn't happen when the people are tortured. It happens when some silly religious thing is tarnished. My God. So that's why we continue to mock religion on this program. And yes, we do have something for you. Thanks, everybody, for writing in. It just never ends, though, does it? All this religious silliness. Okay, and what else is happening? House Homeland Security Committee Chairman. You know you're in trouble when your title is longer than your name. Peter King. Oh, yeah, this guy's a real work of art. He says a Coast Guard document with concerns about a United Arab Emirates company is just another example of lingering questions. But Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff says it's not a flashing light warning of danger in giving the company control of some operations at six major U.S. ports. This is the problem I pointed out last week, where I find myself in the really unenviable position of defending George Bush, George W. Bush, and seeing him being attacked by left and right, Republicans and Democrats. Okay, right and right, but you know what I mean. It turns out that he didn't even know about the deal until after the deal was signed. So it could be that he's simply defending this out of being stubborn. So let's hope for that. Let's hope that we don't actually believe in the same thing. What I believe is that all these people that are crying out, saying that, oh my God, you're going to have Arabs running our ports, they're a bunch of racists. And there's just no other word for it. And whether it's Chuck Schumer, Peter King, Hillary Clinton, or who knows who else. All these people that are screaming bloody murder. Oh, my God. And a United Arab Emirates company. First of all, it's a different country. It's not Saudi Arabia, even though they're supposedly our friends, too. But they're a horrible regime. It's not Iraq, whatever was left of that horrible regime. It's not any of the other countries that are demonized in our eyes, whether for right or for wrong. United Arab Emirates has always been an ally. Yet, because they come from that region, and because being in that region, terrorists might walk upon your land at some point, or go to an ATM and withdraw money, or something like that. Can you imagine all the people that come to this country that have shady dealings, that are terrorists, that are evil people? And if our country was judged based on the lowest common denominators that walk on our soil, we'd never be able to do anything. So yeah, these guys, they have to be evil, they have to be terrorists, because they're in that region of the world. It's funny how Israel escapes that, but never mind that. That's the only reason. Oh, I see people demonstrating, I see the longshoremen demonstrating, saying, you can't give U.S. ports to foreign companies. Well, you know, you guys, you gotta do your research a little bit before you say things like that. Because virtually every port on the West Coast is run by the Chinese. Yeah, the Chinese. And they're not exactly shining examples of democracy and freedom now, are they? The very ports that are being taken over now were run by the British. The British are okay. But the Arabs are not. Well, you know, I got news for you. The people who blew up the buses in London last year, they were British. They were British citizens. What do you think about that? Bunch of ignorant people out there. And, you know, this time, I think it's 9-1 people are opposed to this. But I think it's because of the way the story is being presented. And also the other fact that they keep missing, they keep not telling you, is that this has nothing to do with security. Security continues to be run by the U.S. government, by the Department of Homeland Security. They're the ones in charge. This is simply the people who handle the financial dealings and whatever else is involved in running ports these days. That's frustrating, seeing all this, knowing you can't do anything about it. Now, the news isn't helping. I'm not going to read any more of that. But we have local news, too, and that's sure not going to help. You know, we had one of those murder-suicides right here. Not on campus, but might as well have been. It was so close. I saw this on the news last night. I could not believe it because it's all so local. It's all right here. But the only reason I'm going to even focus on this story a little bit is to point out something. Not to be morbid, not to be sensationalist, but listen to this. A 6-year-old Port Jefferson boy, Port Jefferson's the next town over, told a 911 operator yesterday how his father had just shot and killed his mother. Moments later, as the boy hid in a locked bathroom, the man put the 12-gauge shotgun to his own head and killed himself, according to Suffolk County Police. Shortly before 2 p.m., a man at the home called 911 to report that he had just shot his estranged wife and was contemplating suicide. Then the boy came on the line, told the operator that his mother was dead. 6-year-old kid told the 911 operator his father just shot his mother and is talking about shooting himself. As far as I know, they haven't released the names. They must have by now, but this is the story as I saw it late last night. Now, the interesting thing here is the reaction and the way the story describes the location. Police said the shootings occurred in the doorways of the home at the upscale Fairfield Landmark Complex, made up of colonial-style brick townhouses. Okay, why exactly does that matter, what kind of houses they are, colonial-style brick townhouses? I guess we can get an image in our head. My God, this was not a slum. This was not some burnt-out crack house or something like that. These were real people. These were people just like us. Upscale. Upscale, you say? Living in a complex of colonial-style brick townhouses. Now, neighbors said they were shocked that a killing had occurred there. One of the neighbors who had lived in the complex for 18 months described it as a haven for affluent professionals. A haven for affluent professionals. A woman who declined to give her name said, "I can't believe this could happen here." Oh yeah, you could believe it could happen someplace else, but here? With the affluent professionals? The colonial-style brick townhouses? How is that possible? Well, my friends, it's possible anywhere. I even found the website for Fairfield Landmark at Port Jefferson Village. Luxury, coziness, seclusion, convenience. It's a way of life. Well, not in this case, it wasn't. I'll tell you what makes these things a whole lot more likely. That's people having shotguns in their homes. No, it's true. It's true. Look, I'm not speaking out against people having guns. I'm not going to get into that. There's no point. We're only on for 45 minutes tonight. All I'm saying is, if you have a shotgun in your house, you're a lot more likely to shoot yourself with it than if you don't. Very simple. Not saying you shouldn't have a shotgun. Keep the shotgun at the hunting range or whatever it is you justify its use for. That way, you have to drive all the way down to get it before you can come back and shoot your estranged wife or your current wife or your kids or whatever, and then yourself. So you have to sort of do a little work, a little moving before you can get to that stage. You can't just reach and get it and say, "Yes, that's it, I'm shooting you now," in the height of your madness. Because that's what people do all the time. And they do it all the time in this country because it's so easy for them to get their hands on these things. You need a little cooling off period. Maybe you'll have some kind of a revelation while you're going to get the weapon of death. Maybe you'll see a flower or something, and it'll make your mind feel a little bit more at ease. Maybe you'll turn on the radio and hear a happy song. Maybe you'll see a friendly dog. Did you hear about this story? This was, I think, a year and a half ago. It was in all the papers in Canada. I think it was in Quebec. Friendly dog convinces man not to kill a whole bunch of people on a playground. Now, how in the world do you write a story like that? Apparently, the guy confessed that he was going to kill all these people. And this friendly dog came up to him and was just so friendly that it got his mind off the fact that he wanted to kill all these people. And that dog changed his life, and he was convinced that that dog knew what he was going to do and made it his mission to stop him. And so he was charged with a crime. Can you be charged with a crime for confessing what you were going to do but didn't? That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Start confessing all sorts of things that you didn't do and maybe weren't ever really going to do. Maybe even couldn't possibly physically do. Be hid in the prison, that's for sure. But yeah, you know, animals are one way that all these bad things can be prevented easily. Bring an animal with you. Next time you're going to commit some sort of a crime, bring an animal with you and see if that animal does not prevent you from doing something bad. Guaranteed. Next time you go out to rob a house or something like that, bring the cat. All right? Bring the cat. I guarantee you, by the time you get to your location, your mind will be miles away. Maybe parts of your skin as well. But they can make you think differently, and that's what you need to do. When everything is right at your fingertips, you act impulsively. And I'm sure the people writing the Second Amendment would have noted that, had they had some time. All right. So yeah, we're having a real cheerful show tonight, talking about murder and religion and things like that. Okay, religion. I guess we should get to that. Well, how about, okay, wait, before we get to the religion, while we're on the subject of guns, let's talk about Dick Cheney a little bit. Now, as you know, Dick Cheney shot his friend in the face a few weeks ago, and his friend has since apologized. And it's been the butt of all sorts of jokes, which we've stepped back from, because everybody else is talking about it, so why jump into the fray? But I just have to share this, because I think it's something that really is funny. It's from the current edition of The New Yorker. What they did was they came up with three little greeting cards that are specifically for Dick Cheney to use to send to his friend Harry Whittington. All right, the first card is a picture of Dick Cheney smiling, and it just says, "Get well as fast as you possibly can." And then the poem on the inside reads, "You really gave me quite a start. You really made me worry. So I say with all my heart, relax and heal and hurry." And then the handwritten personalized bit says, "Someone who cares deeply about you." Oh, isn't that sweet? And then you have the second card, which has a vase of flowers on the front and the words, "Sorry for accidentally shooting you in the face." That'd be a great card to have. That could be used so many times in this country. You just have a Hallmark card that says that on the front. And then the poem reads, "When all this is over, when all this ends, here is hoping we'll still be friends." And then the handwritten part, "I owe you big time." Oh, yes. And then the final one, final greeting card from Dick Cheney to Harry Whittington, is a picture of a tombstone. And the words above it say, "Thank you for not dying." And then there are words on the tombstone that says, they say this, "Your name not here." And the poem reads, "Violets are blue, lilies are white. Whatever you do, stay away from the light." And then the handwritten part, "Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about." Oh yeah, greeting cards for Dick Cheney to use to Harry Whittington. From the current edition of The New Yorker. Always cheers me up, that's for sure. And then we have this letter from a listener. "I can't believe that Dick is involved in a shooting accident and doesn't even get a fine for not having the required hunting license tags. Every conservation officer I have ever met has been adamant on verifying that the hunter has a valid license. I am not sure of the current laws in Texas." Well, there aren't any, really. "However, a friend of mine was duck hunting and paid for all the required tags. He was approached by a conservation officer that issued a fine for each of the tags because he neglected to sign his name on them, even though the license itself was signed. The officer would not even let him sign the tags on the spot. He just issued the fines. I'm only complaining about this because I'm sick of all the political dicks." I guess a lot of people with the first name of Dick getting away with this kind of nonsense. "Even things as small as a fine, and he even shot someone. No citizen would have received the same treatment." Well, okay, you don't know that for sure, because if your friend had been approached by a conservation officer after he had, say, shot you in the face, maybe the officer would have been distracted and wouldn't have issued him a fine for that. And then apparently in Texas there is no fine for shooting somebody in the face, so he would have been free on that as well. I don't know. just theorizing there. But yeah, it's quite a story that continues to this day. Okay, now we have as we said last week and the week before that, we're trying to offend as many religions as possible. But that's not exactly true, because as I've also said, I do respect people with religious beliefs. And if I know you personally, I respect whatever crazy god you pray to, because it's respect for you. It's respect for your choices, and I won't insult your religion in front of you. I won't say things like, you know, your entire religion is based on a wife lying to her husband about having sex with somebody, so she pretends to be a virgin. And then from that point on, everyone believes that there's an immaculate conception of some sort. You know, simply because someone can't own up to the fact that she, you know, went out one night and things got a little out of hand. She wants to protect her husband, which is fine, you know. Protecting feelings, I think, is a very Christian thing to do. But come on already. I wouldn't say that. That would be heartless. But what I will do is play occasional bits of music that sort of gently mock different forms of religion. And we're looking for a lot of variety here. We're not looking for hatred. We're not looking for anybody to be condemned. We're just looking for some gentle mockery, which I think we should all be able to take.
I am God. You are God. We are all God.
Preposterous.
I am God. You are God.
Nonsensical.
We are all God.
Our God doesn't operate that way.
I am God. You are God. We are all God.
Preposterous.
I am God. You are God. We are all God.
And of course, this is Negative Land with I Am God from the free album. Not the one that you don't have to pay for, but that's the name of it. And because we're doing an abbreviated show tonight, I have to actually talk over this.
We are all God.
And I'm still not going to be able to get to everything I want to talk about tonight. Dear Emmanuel, you have to play some Dead Kennedys in order to offend, like Kill the Poor, Moral Majority, California Ubalalis, Pull My String, so on. Great music, intelligent lyrics. Since we're all going to hell, we may as well have some fun along the way. Well, unless those people are going to hell with us, it's not really going to be hell, is it? Thanks, Dave from Ireland, for writing in on that. Dear Off the Wall, the Catholic Girl song was terribly offensive in its heteronormativity. Is that even a word? Never once did it mention any kind of homosexual activity. Give us some diversity, please. There are gay Catholic girls, you know. I'm currently listening to your show from February 14th regarding the cartoons and your outrages about the reactions. I am a German not believing in anything personal, but partly I can understand the reactions by Islamic people, because this topic is not that easy, as there are just some, these are just some cartoons. The thing is, as I understood correctly, it's prohibited at all within the Islamic religion to make pictures of the prophets, and in particular, any picture of Allah. That is what the problem is all about.
I am God.
I don't agree, but I respect the people. Signed, Thilo from Germany.
I am God. You are God.
And you know, you're right. That's what it's all about. But there's one very important thing that you said in there. It's prohibited at all within the Islamic religion. Within the religion. I think it's rather wrong to expect people outside the religion to obey the same rules.
But the God of the Christian Bible is the only one.
And that's what I see as the big problem here. Conflict between cultures.
And he was the only one. And yet, our people don't understand what you heard.
Here's email from Jay. Here is a possible offensive song for your consideration. They Don't Make Jews Like Jesus Anymore by Kinky Friedman.
And unless we are free of fear,
I am God. You are God. We are all.
Here's a letter from Curie. You said you were looking for somewhat offensive songs dealing with religion. I found that many are offended by violent femmes. In fact, my mom disallowed my sister to listen to It's Gonna Rain after I lent her the Hallowed Ground CD.
Sermon, and costume, candle, or hymn. No picnic, party, dance, or bingo. No image, benign, bereaved, or crucified. No ordained saint or confirmed miracle. No literature but one book. And no God but Allah.
Yeah, okay, so that's negative land for you with a bit of religion. And, of course, they also did Christianity is Stupid, so they're experts on that. This person writes in, agnosticism is a cop-out. Atheism has nothing to do with faith. In fact, it's concerned with the total absence of faith. I just still continue to believe that absence of faith is an act of faith in itself. But that's just me trying to come up with a good soundbite. The cosmological, ontological and teleological, using words I haven't said in many years, argument all flatly fail to prove that there is a supreme being. Likewise, miracles and other things raised by believers all require some amount of faith. It is a linguistic quirk that people say I do not believe in God. What they mean is I am wholly unconvinced that there is a God, or I am convinced that there is no God. A subtle difference, perhaps, but a crucial one. I am an atheist, and I am convinced that there is no God. This does not mean that I claim to have all the answers. Not that I'm offended by what you say about atheism being a religion. Sorry. Signed, Jason. And, of course, he's apologizing because I'm still looking for people to get offended, and so far nobody has been. But I maintain that to say with certainty there is no God, you have to have some kind of faith system in play there. Because you can read all the books that have ever been written, listen to all the sad songs you can possibly listen to, read all the newspapers, and you still don't know why. Why this is all here, what it's all about, where it goes after this, where it's come from. So yeah, you know, there could be something, or maybe there isn't. And to be able to say, this is how the system works, one way or another, to say that you go up to heaven and you dance around on clouds, or you go down to hell and have to carry spears and things like that, or whatever they do down there, or to say that you just sit in the ground and rot and nothing happens. It all requires you to know something you can't possibly know. Okay. Again, our email address, otw@2600.com. I'd love to hear from you as far as what's going on in your life, your feedback to this program. Again, we're almost out of time tonight. We have the slaughter that's about to take place down in Maryland with our basketball team playing the pathetic losers of the... I guess I'll wait till after the game to call them that, the UMBC. I really hope that this catches on because there's not enough team spirit on this campus. And preaching utter hatred to the other side is the one way to ensure that people pay attention. Here's an interesting story. 7 U.S. soldiers from an elite airborne division have been charged with knowingly engaging in sex for money on a public website. That's according to the Army on Friday. 3 are charged with criminal offenses and face courts-martial. Why is that word like that? Why isn't it court-martials? Courts-martial. Do you know how many times I've been tripped up by saying that? Courts-martial. How silly. Anyway, it's probably the least of their concern. While the other four received non-judicial punishments, the charges allege violations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the men appeared on a gay pornography website that has a military theme. The site did not mention the Army or the 82nd Airborne, but news story did. But its domain name, list, and address in Fayetteville, North Carolina, which neighbors Fort Bragg, where the 82nd is based. After a lengthy investigation, beginning in January, authorities filed the charges and recommended all seven men be discharged from the Army for serious misconduct, and here are their names to embarrass them even further, which we're not going to read. The charges against them included, this is great, pandering, sodomy, charging people with sodomy, it's amazing, and wrongfully engaging in sexual acts with another person while being filmed with the intent of broadcasting the images over the internet for money. That's a charge. Oh my goodness, wrongfully engaging in sexual acts with another person while being filmed with the intent of broadcasting the images over the internet for money. Boy, be careful not to do that. And one of them has also been charged with adultery, as well as underage drinking, drunken driving. I mean, how can you be charged with adultery and underage drinking? It seems like it's not fair to charge you with both. If you're old enough to be charged with adultery, you should be old enough to drive, or drink, rather, not both. All right. Hey, Matt's here. We're going to kick their asses, right?
Absolutely.
All right, good, good. so the basketball game is going to begin in about 3 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for Off the Wall. We'll be back again next week with a full hour. I'm sure we'll talk about all sorts of other things as well. OTW at 2600.com is our address. And Off the Hook is on tomorrow with another special fundraiser edition for WBAI, so please tune into that at 7 o'clock. We'll see you again next week. Good night.
And it's 6:45 here at 90.1 FM WSB. Actually, a little bit closer to 6:46, but we will be joining Jeff Bernstein and Stony Brook Seawolves basketball in just a second or so. They are playing the UMBC Retrievers, and it is a big one, as is every game coming up now. The last two games of the regular season for the Seawolves, and also the America East Tournament next week. And Jeff Bernstein is in Baltimore, and we will be joining him in just a second or so. I'm Matt Mankiewicz, and I'll be keeping you up to date on everything going on in the world of sports in the meantime. But there is Jeff, and Jeff Bernstein, live at UMBC, the Retrievers and the Seawolves. Take it away.
Thanks a lot, Matt Mankiewicz, here at the RAC Arena on the campus of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. It's the Stony Brook Seawolves and the UMBC Retrievers here at the RAC Arena. My name is Jeff Bernstein. We'll be taking through live action here for these final two away games for the Stony Brook Seawolves before they go to the America East Tournament. Stony Brook right now in second place. Hartford, the number one team in the conference, has already won the regular season title. Stony Brook has a one-game lead in the America East for second place. Hartford, they can go from third to sixth. Right now they sit in the middle of the pack in the America East, sitting in fourth place. Boston University is third at 9-4, UMBC at 7-7. So UMBC